May the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips and in each and every one of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. I find myself just extraordinarily happy this morning, or joyful maybe is the right word, because I feel like I'm finally getting a clue about what it is that God is doing and how it is that He's afoot among us and what it is that He desires from us. And I suppose that it's just taken years and years of doing it wrong in order to be able to figure out what it might be to do it right, or what it is that He desires from us. And this has been a gradual awakening, but the dimensions of it are becoming clearer. The outlines are becoming clearer over time. And I think the first thing that I realized that really started to bring it into focus was, I believe it was last week, when I was talking about the evangelism that we do from this congregation, when we have on the first and third Sundays, teams go out into the neighborhoods. And they go out with the intention of bringing the good news. But they go out intentionally without anything in their hands, not so much as a business card or a refrigerator magnet, or something with our name and address on them, anything which they can hand out. They go out just with the Holy Spirit and the desire to make connections with people in the neighborhoods and build relationships with them. And what I realized last Sunday, Rebecca began this process for us. Now there are quite a number of people that go, but they always go without carrying something. And I've suggested refrigerator magnets. Other people have suggested other things that we bring with us. And we've never done that. And I realized last week for the first time the wisdom, God's wisdom, in not giving us something to hand out. And the wisdom is this: that if I have a flyer or a refrigerator magnet with me, when I go into a neighborhood and knock on somebody's door, I think my job is finished when I've handed it to them. And as many flyers as I can hand out or refrigerator magnets that I can hand out, every time I do that, I feel like I've accomplished my task. But that isn't the job at all. It isn't even close to the job. The job is doing what Jesus did, which is forming disciples, sharing the love of God, which He did by teaching and by feeding and by healing, and then allowing the Holy Spirit of God in those that have been met and called to begin to form disciples. And that truly is the charge to the church, not just this one, although certainly this one, but the whole church. Jesus said, go into the whole world and make disciples of all the nations, of all the races, of all the ethnos, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've taught you, all the commandments I've given you. And I'll be with you to the end of the age. And I think the church, we have often misread this or misinterpreted it and thought that our job was done when we went out and shared the good news and got a commitment from the person to whom we were bringing the gospel. If we can get you to say the sinner's prayer and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we're done with you, whoever you are, and we can move on to the next person to get another commitment. Now, I will tell you that the greatest evangelists of our age knew better. Billy Graham, when he was going to have one of his giant crusades in a town, would begin working with the local churches 2 years before the crusade arrived, and would begin training people in those churches on how to take in and minister to and disciple those who had made commitments to Christ. But I think for many of us in the church, when we think of evangelism, our thinking is foreshortened. We sort of have the idea of sharing Christ and getting a commitment, but we don't really realize the final goal here is a relationship with God of every person that we touch, and a relationship with others who are in Him, a deepening, discipling relationship, allowing ourselves to be formed into the image of Christ. I realized, as I thought about the implications of this, that it really cuts across much of what we do in the church, and that what we often end up doing is a task which, when we've accomplished it, we think we're finished, rather than a lifelong, painstaking discipling, building and deepening of relationships with one another, and building and deepening of the relationship with our Creator God. And so as we evaluate what it is that God has called us into, and this is something we've been doing pretty intensely for a while now, one of the things we need to realize is that all of the methods and programs and ways of doing and being church that have been a part of us or a part of the Christian culture need to be re-examined with that question in mind. Is this something I'm doing instead of the true work of discipling, the true work of making disciples, forming disciples, being formed as a disciple, the true work of the kingdom? Am I doing something else, thinking I'm done with my job when I've done it? And I want to take, for a moment, probably the largest example of this. And for all of us who were raised Protestants, shame on us for all of those times that we or our leadership talked about Catholics, Roman Catholics, and said of them, well, they don't really understand relationship with God. They don't really understand what evangelism or who Jesus was is. They don't really get it. All they do is go to Mass on Sunday morning. We don't do Mass. I've heard that probably 100 times in my life. We don't do Mass. The Roman Catholics do that. Well, if you've been here a little while, you know that the word Mass comes from a word missa, which means to send forth. The whole idea of the Mass is not that this is where everything about worship of God and life in God happens, and then we're done for the rest of the week. But rather, this is the place where we come together to be trained, to be taught, to be filled, and then sent. And I think that's an error all of us have made. I can't speak for all of you. It's an error I've made, and I suspect many of us have. Church is something we do on Sunday morning. Worship is something we do on Sunday morning. And we gather together on Sunday morning and we do worship. And then the rest of the week happens. It couldn't be more wrong. The way maybe to think about Sunday morning is this is the time when we're in the beating heart of God. And we come in and get filled there and then sent out. We come into that beating heart, get circulated through the lungs, filled with oxygen, filled with the breath of God, the pneuma of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, that's the Hebrew for Holy Spirit. We get filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be sent out. And so we can do the work of ministry as priests. This is the priesthood of all believers. Great confusion in the church about who the priests are. It's you. I'm the presbyter. That means I'm an elder in this church and I teach and pastor. And I'm a priest only because I'm a member of the body of Christ. You all are the priests, and it's your call, your mission, your responsibility to be redeeming the world. Every day, every moment of life, in every venue, at work and at school and in the neighborhood and in the shopping center, you are Christ's priests. He's the chief priest, and you are his serving priests sent into the world. Amen. Sunday morning, we may gather together. We should. We worship together here. We should. We are trained and taught here. We should be. Understanding that this is where we are refilled and trained for the sending out, the missa, the mass, the sending forth of all of us. So I've described, without even realizing what I was saying, that resurrection needed to be the beating heart of its community. Not a destination in the middle of a community that people come to from here and there and then go back to whatever their lives are. But the beating heart of a community, the one that we're planted in. And the reason it's the beating heart is not because it's a place where all of us pool together. That's what happens when a heart dies. But a place that we are pulled together, refilled, and sent out again and again. And it beats week after week like that with the refilling and the sending out of the Holy Spirit to the neighborhoods. Now, the truth is we stink at this. We don't know how to do this. We may want to do it, but we don't have a clue what it means or how you do it. But the truth is, if we look at the life of Jesus, what did he do? His whole life was worship. His whole life was worship. And the content of that worship was teaching and feeding and healing. And we are called to be the body of Christ in the world today. And so if we are not teaching and feeding and healing, we are not being formed in his image. We are not being disciples. I count me in this category too. This ain't me lecturing you all. All of us need to wrestle with that fact that truly to be Christians, truly to live as the body of Christ, is to be priests of the Most High God, redeeming creation, calling others into relationship with him. This image I want to share, because I believe it's the actual image of what it looks like to go in and redeem the world. And it's the story Jesus told of the prodigal son. And I'm going to draw a conclusion from this, which I'm going to pound on really hard. And I will tell you that someone I know who's a respected pastor and leader, when he's heard this from me, has said, oh, don't go there. Everyone will just get confused. Oh, well, I don't think so. And here's the there. Jesus told this story. You all know it. Of the father with two sons, an older son and a younger son. And the younger son said, Father, I want all of my inheritance, and I'm leaving. And the father granted him that wish. He gave him his inheritance. And the son went out and wasted it and his life on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's the modern version, but that's basically it. Although I still like rock and roll. But he went out and wasted his life and spent all of that fortune until he was absolutely destitute and found himself caring for and living with pigs, which, of course, to a Jew is a very unclean animal. and eating what the pigs were eating, and said to himself, even as a servant in my father's household, I would be better off than I am here. And so he said, I will just go and throw myself at my father's feet and ask him if I might just be a servant in his household. That's his thought process. And so, realizing how horrible life is with no relationship with the Father whatsoever, none, he turns. He turns. He turns. And begins to walk back home. Now, his father is not standing, arms folded, foot tapping, staring down his nose in condescension at the son who returns. Rather, the father is looking for the return of the son. And the moment that he sees the son coming toward him, he runs to the son. He runs to the son. He runs to the son. Rex, stand up just for a moment if you would. And some of you have heard me tell this before, know this, and those of you who might be new, let me tell you what it says in the Greek. That when the son, father grabbed the son, it says he fell on his neck. And that's what it looks like. The heads came together, the arms wrapped around each other. And the son was redeemed. The lost one was redeemed. The father's love was there. The father's love clothed the son in a clean white robe, covered everything from the pigs, covered all of the uncleanness. He put clean sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger signifying his sonship. He was restored. He was restored. The story is primarily about the love of God. And it's the love of God that we are sent into the world to share in order that others would turn and begin to move to the one who created them and who loves them and who desires reconciliation and restoration. We all know this story. And now here's my claim. In the moment that the son came into the father's arms and the father fell on the neck of the son and the father received the son back into his bosom, what was going on in the son's heart at that moment is worship. If we want to understand what worship is, that's it. That's the heart of worship in a human being. That is the normative response to the love of God. It isn't just a philosophical idea. It isn't just singing. It isn't just coming together on Sunday morning and praying. It is the heart response to the free love of God given to redeem us. That is worship. One of the theologians of our age whom I respect a lot, Piper, speaking about missional churches, a missional church, a church which sees the community in which it is planted as its very mission. and reaches that community the same way we might send missionaries to some remote part of the world, we say we will do this very thing here. We will teach. We will feed. We will heal. We will be that in this community. Piper says, the goal of a missional church isn't mission. It's worship. The mission is to the community. The mission in the community is where we share the gospel. The community is where we serve as priests of the Most High God. The mission in the community is where we serve those created in the image of God, filled with the breath of God, the Ruach HaKodesh. It is where we meet them and serve them. But the purpose there isn't just the service. The purpose there isn't just the mission. The purpose there is worship. Now think about this. If the prodigal son, when he is redeemed, when he is brought back to the heart of the Father, if what happens in his heart right then is worship, then we understand what our mission is. We understand that as disciples, as the body of Christ, as priests of the Most High God, sent out to redeem the world, to love it, to build relationships there, to form disciples, not to hand out brochures, to build relationship and form disciples and serve. We understand that what happens in each of those hearts as we, by the grace of God, share who Jesus is, share what God desires. At every moment when one of those hearts we serve, teach, feed, heal, restore by the grace of God, or are vessels of that restoration by the Holy Spirit, with each one that we do that, that is yet another prodigal returned to his father's fierce embrace, returned to his father's tender embrace, returned to his father's heart, and what the heart of that one returned experiences is worship. 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 And then finally this. Jesus says to his disciples that in serving those who are hungry or are in prison or in any kind of need, they serve him. And they ask, bewildered, because they've been doing it, but still bewildered, they ask, how is that so? And he says, because in each one that you serve me. You see me, you serve me. In the siddur, the Jewish worship, there's a rhythm of the Shabbat service. And it begins with, thank you, Father, for choosing us and setting us apart and redeeming us. And now may we serve you in those that you have made. And it just moves back and forth between those two. And it recognizes, as we do, that by serving Jesus in others, that is a true act of worship on our part. And so, what it comes down to is it's all worship. It's not worship on Sunday morning. It's worship every morning. Every afternoon, every evening, with every encounter that we have, if we truly are living lives as disciples, serving Jesus in each person that we serve, it's worship. And as priests, that's what you're supposed to be doing anyway, worshiping. Worshiping God. And the worship happens in all of those that are served. And so the call on this church, I believe, the call on all of Christ's followers is mission. To carry the love of God into the real, actual neighborhoods with real, actual neighbors every day of the week. To come together as we do for training and for filling, only to be sent out. The beating heart is here only to send us back out. And then we come again. And some of those that we have met come and are refilled and sent out. That's the true image of the church, is that we beat in worship with that heart and are sent out to serve. And the minute we begin to think church is what happens on Sunday morning, we have missed it. It's the piece of paper we hand out instead of the relationship we build. It's focusing on the wrong thing. But when we understand that all of life is worship and all of us are priests in worship every day, redeeming creation with the very Spirit of God in us and worshiping and meeting Jesus in each person we encounter, then we have understood our call as priests and as a community of God at resurrection. And Lord, I pray that this understanding of what it is that you call us to might deepen and grow ever clearer in the mind and heart of everyone that you have gathered here. Everyone, everyone. And that each moment of each day would be redeemed for you by your power in us, as you promised, day in, day out. Day in, day out, person by person by person. Amen.